All right. Well, I just want to say I'm delighted to be here this evening. And your pastor invited me, and it's a second honor, of course, to be with Pastor Carter and see his wife this evening. It's been a long time since we've been here. That was back in 2005. And I never thought I'd be preaching here, but I just thank the Lord for the opportunity. The preacher wanted me to give a little update of some of the things we're involved in. We presently live in Alaska. My wife and I, her name is Amy, we have 15 children. Now, if you're thinking about having 15 children, I'll just let you know it'll be all right. Amen? You'll be okay. But we believe children are the heritage of the Lord. And we've been married 33 years, and our oldest son is 31. And so we thank the Lord for each one. And we have Elizabeth over there, and she's 6 years old, and we're delighted. It took us a long time to get her, but we thank the Lord for her. And so we're involved in a lot of things. The Lord really put me always in a seed sowing ministry, and I've been involved in a pastor for a while and evangelism for a while and church planting. And so right now we're focused in remote regions outreach in Alaska, and we also reach into Canada, and we're also involved in aviation. And the Lord provided two aircraft, and right now we're actually targeting the Bahamas, and my oldest son is a pilot. And so we ask that you pray for us as we try to endeavor to do the Great Commission. And it is a Great Commission. And so we thank the Lord for those things. Now, if you will, take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And as we look there, we'll begin with prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. I pray that you bless this time together. Lord, we don't want to come and not receive something from thee. And Lord, I pray that the message you've given will be an encouragement to each one of us. And Lord, I thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the call. And Lord, I pray that you bless each person. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, they trust you as Savior tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at these things. We'll just get right into it. Jumping out of the boat, walking on the water, and sinking in the sea. And so we read about the account of Peter attempting to walk on water. And if you go down to verse number 29, Jesus invited Peter to walk on the water. Now that's an interesting invitation. And so we see, and he said, "Come." And so that's the first time and only time anyone has had that opportunity. And Peter, I'm sure when he got together with the disciples after the resurrection, he reminded everyone how he walked on water. That was a great opportunity. But I'm sure the disciples said, "But Peter, you also sank." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And so we have this account of Jesus walking on the water, walking on the sea. The disciples were troubled, and Jesus calmed their fears, and Peter requested to go on the water, "Bid me come." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. And Jesus, when he called Peter, Peter walked on the water. And when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." You know, if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to cry out to the Lord. Save me. Without Jesus, you're sinking. And so Jesus caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And so I want to look at two things. why Peter got out of the boat and why Peter sank. Why Peter got out of the boat and why he sank. And so, why did Peter get out of the boat? Well, first of all, Peter already knew Jesus could do anything. He knew that. And so, the question is, do you know that Jesus can do anything? Amen. Jesus can do anything but fail. Amen. And so, Peter knew that because Peter witnessed many things in his life before this happened. We find in 2 Peter 1, verse 16, it says, they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And they heard that voice. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And so Peter witnessed Jesus' confirmation. Peter saw 5,000 women and children fed. That happened just before this account. And Peter, he got out of the boat as he just witnessed one of the greatest miracles of all time. The feeding of the 5,000. Now, the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that we have in all four Gospels outside of the resurrection. And so this is a very important miracle, and Peter witnessed that miracle. And so we find Jesus saw the feeding of the 5,000 plus children and the women. And then Peter already saw many things. He saw the turning of the water into wine. So why wouldn't he get out of the boat? He saw these great miracles. He saw these various things that Jesus turned water into wine. And now Jesus is walking on the water. And so this is why Peter got out of the boat. He had confidence in Jesus. And also Peter not only saw Jesus create things. I mean, turning water out of the wine. Not many people got to witness a creative power of Jesus. Outside of, you know, you and I can see that every day in creation as we look around. But Jesus himself did these things before Peter. But he also probably knew the Old Testament miracles. Amen? He knew the Bible's full of Old Testament. Moses' visitation in the burning bush and the miracles of redemption. And all the various miracles that he witnessed. The miracles of the 10 plagues. He read that in his Bible. And you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so he heard about the water turning to blood, and the frogs, and the lice, and the flies, and the moraine, and the boils, and the thunder, and the hail, and the fire, and the locusts, and the darkness, and the death of the firstborn. He heard about all these great miracles. And the parting of the Red Sea. He heard about that too. And the congealing of the water, and the bitter waters healed, and the manna, and the water from the rock, and Aaron's rod, and the brazen serpent, and the parting of the Jordan. So this was his background. And he saw the Lord himself walking on the water. And the land of Canaan, the fall of Jericho, and the sun and the moon that stood still. He knew about those miracles. Amen. And we know about a lot of miracles too, don't we? And among those, among many others, Peter knew about many miracles. And so he got out of the boat because he knew God can do anything. And so Jesus already defied the laws of science. And Jesus now was defying the law of gravity. And Peter knew that God congealed the Red Sea. And so he defied gravity in doing so by walking on the water. He knew the miracle of Elisha when the iron did swim. He knew that. And so, as he thought about some of these things, I'm sure, he took a step out on the water. And so, this is why Peter got out of the boat. If iron can swim, why couldn't he walk on water? And so, that brings us to the next question. And that is, why did Peter sink? If he got out of the boat, why did he sink? Well, it's easy to step out in faith. What's difficult is to not lose faith when we take the steps. It's easy to launch out to the mission field. What's hard is to stay in the mission field when God wants you to stay. And so Jesus said, "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" And so Peter sank for some reasons. I believe Peter lost faith for several reasons. Number one, Peter got out of his place. He got out of his place. You know, half of the battle is getting in our place. We need to stay in our place where God called us, where God last spoke to us. If we get out of our place, we need to get back to where God last spoke to us and get back in our place if God lets us get back in our place. I knew a preacher, and I called him one day and said, "Brother Wood, how you doing?" And he said, "Brother, I'm out of the will of God." You see, he left the church that God had called him. And I said, and he was in another church. And he shared with me that. And he said, "I should have never left." He knew he was out of place. But miraculously, God switched some things around. And the church called him back. And next time I saw Brother Wood, oh, he was so excited. Because he found his place back again. And sometimes God allows that. And so Peter sank for the reason that he got out of his place. You know, we find Abraham got out of his place. But he had no confidence to pray. You don't find Abraham praying in Egypt. You don't find Jonah praying in the boat on his way to Tarshish. You find Jonah praying when he's on his way back to Nineveh in the belly of the whale. Did you hear about a man by the name of Michael Packard, 56-year-old man from Cape Cod? Did you hear about that man? Swallowed by a whale. This happened just in the last, about a year ago, I believe it was. And he was swallowed by a humpback whale. Very unusual occurrence, because that whale didn't diet on meat, you know, or big objects like people. And he said when he was inside the experience of being inside that whale, he said, "I could sense I was moving. I could feel the whale squeezing with the muscles in his mouth." And he was in it about 40 seconds, and the whale shook and spit him out. And he came out with a story. But you know what? I didn't hear anything about praying. I didn't hear anything about praying. You see, he didn't have confidence. And so Jonah didn't have confidence. And we need confidence when we pray. And you can be assured when you have confidence that God can give you an answer. And God can give me an answer. The Bible says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence before him at his coming." There is a man in our church in Pennsylvania, and I won't tell you his name, but he got saved and he got baptized and he got tangled in a relationship, and he had left his wife, and you know, things weren't good. And God, one Sunday, I made a statement. You got to be careful what you say. I said, "The only thing that's going to wake up this town is hail the size of baseballs." And come Sunday night, after we dropped someone off, lo and behold, the wind started blowing and hail started coming down, and a tornado came about 3 miles from that church, and it put hail all over the parking lot. Well, later on, of course, Irvin, he wasn't there. Oh, I said his name. He wasn't there, but I met him a little while later. I said, "Irvin, did you see that tornado?" He said, "Oh yeah, I saw that tornado." He said, "It was coming right for me." And he had his girlfriend on the porch. I said, "Irvin, did you pray?" He said, "No." You see, Peter, he was out of place. Peter, He didn't have the confidence to pray as he walked on that water. And so that's why Peter sank. You know, before I got saved, I had a 185 Suzuki. And as a 17-year-old boy, it was the only ride I had. And boy, I liked that Suzuki. And my mother, she said, "Mark, don't you ride that on the road." "Well, you know better than Mom." And I just thought I'd take a little ride and went down to the Swinging Bridge in Peaceful Valley. And the water was, the reason it had a swinging bridge, every once in a while, the water would raise above the concrete road there, and you'd have to use the bridge. The kids, that's the way they got to school. Well, I thought, it's not very high. I can take my motorcycle across that bridge. And I took off. And I got about to the middle, and I failed to realize that roads, when you go over water, sometimes they dip a little bit. And I got in that rapid water in December in Ohio, and I saw ice all around. That water was real cold. And it got deeper and deeper, and pretty soon that motorcycle, it started sliding over. It's still running. It boom, 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 boom. And I slowed it down because if I moved anymore, it was going to push me right off the bridge. So I just stopped, and it started moving. Boom, boom, boom. There was no guardrail. So I thought, I'm going to go swimming if I don't get off this motorcycle. Oh, no. Lord. But I didn't have confidence. You see, I disobeyed my mother. I never got away with disobeying my parents. The Lord always let me know. And so I stepped off that motorcycle. And what happens when you step off of a motorcycle? It has tires that are full of air. It wanted to lift up. So I'm standing there and it lifted up. And I couldn't hold it anymore. And I had to let it go. And that was the end of that 185 Suzuki. I never saw it again. But I had no confidence. And that's why Peter, and I did, fortunately, I got out of there and I called my mom. "Hello, Mom." "Yes, Mark." "Could you come and pick me up?" "Why, Mark?" "Well, you know," and you told her the story, and that was an interesting ride on the way home. But why didn't Peter have confidence? Peter was out of place. Now, I want you to look at a couple verses here. Turn to Mark chapter 6, if you would. And I want to show you how Peter was literally out of place. Mark chapter 6, and look at verse number 45. Now, this was after that miracle that Peter just witnessed before he walked on water, the feeding of the 5,000. And it says, "And straightway," this is Jesus, "constrained his disciples," verse 45 of Mark chapter 6. He constrained his disciples. In other words, he ordered them to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto where? Bethsaida. So he's supposed to go to Bethsaida. This is where Christ ordered him to go. Now, turn to John chapter 6, if you will. And this is another account. And this is why I like the King James Bible. Because you get the place of the feeding of the 5,000. I've got a few booklets back there about where it really took place. And you get it right when you read the King James Bible. But John chapter 6, look at verse number 17. Look what Peter, it says, "And entered into a ship and went over the sea toward where?" Did he go where God said he to go? God, where did the Lord tell him to go? Bethsaida, remember? Where did he go? Capernaum. You realize those are in opposite directions? Bethsaida is on the east side of the Jordan. Capernaum is way over on the west side of the Jordan. And so he told him to go to the east, and Peter went to the west. So Peter, he got in trouble, just like Jonah, and just like Abraham. And so this is why Peter sank. And so Peter was out of place. Another reason, Peter had great ambition. He had great ambition. At the account of the feeding of the 5,000, he was so excited, he wanted to take Well, I believe he wanted to lead in this because he led in everything. And take Jesus by force. We see that. Just go back to John chapter 6, verse 15 while you're there. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and do what? Take him by what? Force. Take Jesus by force? God in flesh? Take the Lord by force? That was a little peculiar. And so this is why we find Peter sank. And Peter being the chief apostle, you see, he wanted to take Jesus by force. And Jesus' ambition was one of his problems. And then we find he sank because another reason we find later on, Peter had a problem. We talked about this in chapel. You know what he skipped? He skipped his what?
Devotions.
Peter had a habit of skipping his devotions. You know, we got to be careful about that. Now, if anyone has a reason to skip devotions, that man right there has a reason to do it. But the Lord still wants us to have our devotions. If you have to do it, preacher, on the way to the hospital. If you have to have your devotions and draw something from a program on the radio. Because you don't realize churches this size. I can't imagine. You'd have to have a gifted by God individual to be able to do that and maintain their devotions. But our devotions is where we draw strength to serve the Lord. And so Peter, he had a problem with that. Because you remember Gethsemane. Do you remember what he did? Jesus said, could thou not watch with me for 1 hour? And he was asleep. It's so easy to fall asleep in devotions. How many of you college young people have never done that? Raise your hand. Never fall. And so, we have a lot of young people. And, those devotions. And so Peter, he didn't have that confidence. His ambition got him in trouble. He was out of place and he skipped his devotions. And so we find Peter did something else, and we're almost through. Peter let his flesh get in the way. Amen. And so what did he do? Well, he drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. He tried to take matters in his own hand. And so we got to be careful about that. This was the personality of Peter that caused him to sink. And so these are some of the reasons that Peter sank after he got out of the boat. And it's easy to have faith in Jesus and get out of the boat, but what's hard is to walk on the water by faith. And so we need faith to believe and the character to stand. And so may God help us to get out of the boat. Getting out of the boat is a testimony for us. But walking on water is a testimony for God. And so this is what we should strive for. And so may God help us to be in our place. Help us to die to ambition in ourselves, and help us to have consistent devotions and spend time with God, and help us to be guided by His Holy Spirit instead of the old flesh in this world that we live. And so I'll close with a testimony of a man that I believe just about walked on water. Have you ever heard of missionary Darrell Champlin? Anybody ever heard of him? Missionary to Suriname, South America. He also was in Africa. Well, there was a particular morning. My wife had our second son, Jonathan. And I rushed her to the midwife. And she got there in time. And there was a meeting. Camp Glory in Pennsylvania. And I told my wife after the birth of Jonathan, first we dedicated him to be a missionary. And I went to the meeting because Amy said, I'll be all right, go ahead. And so I went ahead and went. And I heard Brother Champlin give this testimony. He had some people there, and they were beside themselves full of the devil. And they had hot coals, and they I would not believe this if he wasn't a good, solid, independent Baptist, okay? But he was. And he said they were walking on these hot coals full of the devil. And he got beside himself. And he wanted to prove that his God is greater than their devil. And you know what he did? He took his shoes off. And he walked on those hot coals. And his feet weren't burned. Now, I don't recommend doing that. But that's what he said he did. And he preached a message and he said, it used to be that parents would give their children for missions. And he preached and he said, where are your children? And I went up and I said, Brother Champlin, my wife and I just dedicated our boy this morning. That's just to the glory of God. And so God called three of my sons and they're serving him. And we got one boy and he's going to Mongolia. And we're going to plan on going there, Lord willing, in April. And do a survey trip. And others that are looking. But I want to tell you something. This man, he has a testimony for God. And so, why did Peter get out of the boat? Well, he knew God could do all these miracles and that he had all power. And so some of us need to get out of the boat. Some of you young men need to go ahead, and, no matter how hard, and it's not going to get any easier, need to go ahead and get out of the boat. But more importantly, we need a testimony for God. We need a testimony for God. And so, in closing, Jesus never left his place. Jesus never had selfish ambition. Jesus never failed to have devotions. And Jesus always followed the Spirit. And so thank God he has power to save us. And thank God we have a Savior who's perfect. And he has imputed righteousness for all those times that we fail. And so if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, he loves you. He died for you. He gave his life for you. He bled his blood for you. He rose again, proving that your sins vicariously were paid. And if you trust Jesus, he'll give you eternal life. And he'll give you the boat to ride in. And so, preacher, that's what the Lord gave me. I hope it's a blessing.
Let's bow our heads tonight and stand to our feet as the musicians come tonight. You know, the illustration's been given tonight of men that walked on the water. And those that walked through fire. And believers walk through tribulation today, and all of that has to do, you say, how, preacher, what's the difference since those that, how much confidence do you have in your Savior tonight? You know and you believe in him that he can take and give you an eternal destiny, and you're saved and on your way to heaven, but we won't take a step out of the boat for him. We won't continue to walk daily in his word. He waits to hear us. What a message for us tonight. In these days, it's not water, maybe not fire, but we walk in the days of tribulation, the day just before great tribulation, and we need to walk close to our Savior. We need to walk hand in hand with him tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you just need to come and talk to God and say, God, I'm walking through some troubled waters. I'm walking through some troubled things. Help me stay close to you. Maybe you need to come tonight and be saved. Maybe you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You never put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to join this good church. Maybe you need to get baptized. Whatever it is that you need to do, I'll meet you in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know For sure, you're on your way to heaven if you need to be saved. But if you're a Christian and, man, there's some doubt in your heart, some fear, well, that's the enemy of faith. Why don't you come and just talk to God about it tonight, as Brother Bert sings.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
Would you bow your head with me tonight and close your eyes and pray? Maybe you could pray for our nation. Boy, my eyes were open to just as good a government as we have in Florida. Boy, there's so many folks that are working against the things that God wants to see done. Working in an opposite direction of the things of God and God's people and His Word. And tonight I just ask you to pray for our nation. But if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you've never been in a building where there's an invitation, or we invite you to come to the front and receive Jesus Christ. Boy, listen, you know, the Bible says there's a heaven and there's a hell. And every person inside this room, every person on earth will spend eternity in one of those two places. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible is clear, you'll spend eternity in hell. Because it's what you do with Jesus that matters for eternity. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, I'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and Brother Bert's saying, would you step out and come and let us take a Bible and show you?
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
I hope you did whatever God wants you to do, Brother Bach. If you and your family will go back to your table, I want folks to be able to, if you want to get ahead of them, and I want people to go back and get their card and pray for them. Amen. They're doing the work of God, and they're trying to launch out into other areas and get to know them. And maybe through them, you can get to know some of their children that are headed to mission fields around the world. We can pray for them as well. I will say this. I appreciate all the prayers for me. The battle's not over, so we need to keep praying. If you have someone that you keep on speed dial that's in the House or the Senate, or if you know the governor personally, if you would please call them this week, send them an email, send them a letter. Just make them aware that we desperately desire to have religious liberties in not only this bill, but in every bill, but especially this one that's right there now. It is going to be a battle, folks. We really thought we were going to have a little bit of a window, and it's really starting to heat up. So if we don't get it in the next few days, we're going to be playing behind the game. And the bill is going to push through in the next 2 weeks. So we really do. If you know someone and you can call them, many times you don't think it matters, but it really matters. We were just there today, and we bombarded them with religious liberty in this bill, religious liberty in this bill. So they've heard it now with people from that aren't in Tallahassee, but are in their districts calling them and emailing them. Listen, folks, you may not think they hear, but we have a lot of people that want to do what our people want to do right now. Yeah, yeah. And so call them, text them, email them, get a hold of them any way you can. it helps. It will help us down the road. Amen. We're going to close in prayer. Thank you so much. Don't forget to go see the box table and pick up one of their prayer cards before you leave tonight. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, as we come to you, Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. I do pray that you'd help us, Lord. We need to walk close to you, Lord. We need to be faithful in our devotions, Lord. And Lord, I know that sometimes when we doubt and we worry, Lord, we don't have the confidence to come boldly before the throne of grace. And Lord, I pray you'd give each one of us that boldness tonight. Help us to walk close to you and have confidence in you, God. And I pray you go with our families, Lord, each one of our families, Lord, as they leave tonight, and our church members, Lord, I pray you go with them and watch over them, Lord. Give them safety, Lord. I pray that you'd prosper their families and their homes. I pray you'd help us, Lord, in this battle for parent choice, Lord. We do need a parent choice, but we need a religious choice as well. I pray that you just superintend, be with our governor, Lord. We thank you for him and all of our elected officials. But, Lord, we pray that you would turn the hearts, Lord, to your will and your way. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.